Today we come to celebrate the most glorious event in all of history, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is an event that has changed everything. We are not the same because of it. The world is not the same because Jesus, our Lord, was crucified, was buried, and rose again. But I ask you this morning, what if there was no Easter? What if Jesus was still in the grave? What if when the women went to the tomb on that first Easter morning, and it would have been what they were expecting? Because we read that as Jesus was taken down from the cross on Friday, it was towards the end of the day, and the Sabbath was quickly approaching. They had to quickly prepare his body for burial, so they wrapped him in linen, and they placed him in the tomb. The women gone back to the tomb early on the Sunday morning, expecting to find the body of Jesus in the grave. That was why they went. Discussing amongst themselves as to who would roll the stone away when they got there. And when they arrived, they found that the stone had been rolled away. They didn't fully understand. And they were greeted by an angel that said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Because Jesus isn't here. He's alive. But what if, when the women went to the tomb, it had been like they thought and that Jesus was still there? What if Jesus had not been resurrected? What if Easter never occurred? Well, that's what 1 Corinthians is about. Because Paul is writing this chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 to the church at Corinth that were beginning to wonder and question that very thing. Because the church of Corinth had some problems. And Paul was writing to them to address many of the problems and concerns and issues they had. They had problems and issues of personal sin within their lives. But they also had a problem believing in the fact of the resurrection. Because the Greeks, of which the church of Corinth was made up a lot of, did not believe in a literal resurrection. They believed that it was impossible, that once a person died, it was impossible to come back to life again. That once you died, that was the end of it. Your spirit part of you lived forever, but your body went to the ground, and there was never a hope of a resurrection again. And many in the church at Corinth were even adopting that kind of view. And they thought that, you know, Christ didn't rise from the dead. And the resurrection thing of Easter, that just couldn't have happened because a resurrection is impossible. But Christ did indeed rise from the dead, right? Amen. And we serve a Savior. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a literal event. It's a historic event that has been verified and documented. And the witnesses passed on to us. So Paul was writing here to instruct the Corinthians and to correct their wrong teaching on the fact of what the resurrection is. Indeed, Jesus is alive. And because of Easter, everything changes. Because 3 days changed everything. And it changed us. And it changed the world. So let's look at these words that Gene read to us in chapter 15. And chapter 15 is a rather long chapter because Paul wanted to make sure that we understood it and made sure that their church at Corinth understood the importance and the reality of the resurrection, because it is so critical. It is a central element to our faith. It is everything we believe is based upon the fact that Jesus is alive and is no longer in the grave. That's what sets him apart. If you would go to the grave of Muhammad, he's still there. If you go to the grave of Buddha, he's still there. If you go to the grave of Confucius, he's still there. You go to the grave of Jesus, and it is empty. He's not there, praise God. And it sets him apart completely and who we worship and who we serve. It changes everything. So because of Easter, Paul, we're going to discover this morning there are 4 realities that we can be absolutely certain of in our life every day. And these realities are true. We can take them to the bank. We are absolutely assured of them because of Easter, because of this day, because we have a Savior who is alive, as Paul said, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. So the first reality is this: because of Easter, our lives have been changed. We are not the same as we used to be. A change took place in us, and it's continuing to take place in us because of the fact that our Savior is alive. The events have happened, and what happened on that Easter morning changed us. Because of the resurrection, we are never the same again. Paul said, I want to remind you of the gospel, of the good news that I preached, that has been preached, that is central, that we as a church here, our church is built upon, as an evangelical church, hold fast to, and that biblical churches hold to, and we receive from Christ Himself. And on this gospel, the hope that Jesus died, was buried, and it rose again. That our lives have been changed by that message, and by the message of the gospel, which is the good news. The good news that Jesus died for your sin and for mine. That He took our place. And that He was placed in the tomb. And that He did not stay there, but 3 days later He rose again in resurrection power and lives eternally. That's good news, right? And that's the message that brings salvation. And that's the message that changes our lives. This past Sunday night, when we had the Then Sings My Soul, we were reminded again that that was the simple message that Billy Graham had preached all those years. It's the message that we proclaim. The message of the cross. The message of the gospel, that Jesus died for us. He took our place. And it was that message that changed the women when they went to the tomb expecting to find Jesus there. And as I said, the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive. He's not in the grave. Go and tell His disciples that He's risen and He's gone ahead from you, and you will see Him. The message of the gospel, that as you heard it years ago, maybe when you were younger as a child, or maybe even more recently, but when you heard that message of the gospel proclaimed and shared, that Jesus died for you, that He took your place, and you put your personal faith and trust in Him, and you believe that Jesus took your place on the cross, and that He didn't stay dead, that He rose again, and the moment you put your faith and trust in you, your life was changed from that point on. And we were not the same person we were before. Because of Easter, because of that glorious message of redemption through the cross of Christ, of the gospel, but we're also changed by the work of His grace. Because notice what Paul goes on to say in the verses that Gene did not read, verse 9 and following. He says that He appeared to Peter and then the other apostles. Then Paul said last, in verse 8, last of all, He appeared to me. Then as He talked about Himself, He said, for I am the least of the apostles, and I don't even deserve to be called an apostle, He said, because I persecuted the church of God. As you know, in Paul's background, before he was saved, he was known as Saul. And his zeal for what he thought was obedience to God, he was persecuting those who believed in Christ. And God, until Jesus met him, and he encountered the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, and his life was changed. But he said, but by verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. Paul's life was changed because he met the risen Savior on the road to Damascus one day. And God's grace came into his life, and it changed him. And he said, I used to be a persecutor of the church, but he said, because of God's grace, I am what I am today. And I say, praise God, because of God's grace, I am what I am today, and you are what you are today because of God's grace. Where would we be without the work of God's grace in our life? We'd be lost, we'd be hopeless, we'd be on our way to eternal destruction in hell. But with God's grace, the work of His grace, and the tomb's empty, we are changed forever. Isn't that something to rejoice in? His work of grace within us, that is daily being worked with that. Not only the work of His grace, but we're transformed by His grace as well, because Paul goes on to say in that same verse 10, he said, not only I am who I am because of the grace of God, God's grace saved me. but he said, God's grace is also transforming me. He said that his grace isn't without effect. Because of the grace he's shown in my life, Paul says, I realize that I need to live my life. I need to pursue him more. And Paul's pursuit was found in Philippians when he said, I want to know Christ more passionately. I want to know him more intimately. I want to live my life for him. I want to give my life fully to him. And because God's grace was so abounding in Paul's life, Paul devoted his life to God. And his life was continuing to be transformed as he went on and wrote in to us in Romans that because of God's mercy to us, he said, I urge you to present yourself as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to him, because this is our way we worship him now. That continual transformation within us as his grace works within us every day. The work of God's grace transforming our life. Praise God for that. But because of Easter, we are not the same. Our lives are changed forever. It's one thing to rejoice in. If the grave was not empty, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if there was no Easter, there would be no hope for our lives. Our lives would not be any different. We'd be just like those out there in the world without any hope. And Paul said, of all people, we'd be miserable, pitied more than all men. Peter's life was changed as well by the work of God's grace and the resurrected Lord. You remember before the resurrection, as Jesus was facing crucifixion on the cross and as he was arrested in the garden, and he was on trial before, Peter was warming himself by the fire. And a young girl asked him, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? Remember what Peter said? No, I don't know him. And he denied he knew him three times. And that failure in his heart, he bore that. Till he met the resurrected Christ afterwards, and his life was changed. And that fear turned to faith and courage and boldness. And the work of God's grace in Peter's life for meeting the resurrected Lord. And it's the same for us. Because our Savior lives, because of Easter, our lives have been changed. But second, here's good news. Because of Easter, our sins are gone. And again, another reason to praise him this morning, that the sin in our life, every single one that you and I have committed, are gone and taken out of our life and buried and put into the deepest sea, and our God remembers them no more. Why do we know that? Because look what Paul says. Gene read this for us in verse 17. He said, if Christ has not been raised, if there is no resurrection of the dead, if Easter did not occur, if Jesus was still in the grave, then your faith is futile and you are still what? In your sins. He said, we'd still be in our sins if the grave wasn't empty. But the resurrection proves that God the Father accepted the sacrifice and the work of Jesus on the cross for you and me. That when Jesus died and he said, it is finished, and he shed his blood and he paid the price, when God raised him from the dead 3 days later, it showed that the price had been paid fully. That the atonement was made. The shedding of the blood was complete. Nothing else was needed. All other sacrifices would end. Because nothing else was needed. His grace is sufficient now. His blood covers all the sins we've committed, past, present, and what we're yet to do. Because on the cross, he paid the price for every single one of them. A debt that we could not carry ourselves, a price that we could not pay, he took for us. And imagine the weight of that. Just think of your own personal life for a moment. And just think of your own life and all the sins that you've committed in your life. That we're not ashamed, that we're not proud of, that we're ashamed of, that we hope that people don't know of. But just think of your own life. Take that times all the people that have ever lived and cast all that on Christ. And he bore the weight of all that for you and for me. And the resurrection proves that God the Father accepted his work for us, that our sins are gone. If Jesus was still in the grave, we would still be in our sin. But praise God, the grave's empty, and our sins are gone. Covered by the blood of Christ. The price has been paid and the debt has been canceled. That the debt that we owed against God because of our sin has been canceled, paid in, stamped, paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we had a debt against God that we could never repay because of all of our sins. And if you, someone canceled a debt for you, or you had a loan and someone forgave it for you and said, you know, I've accepted your payment, it's paid in full. You know, that we appreciate that. But that's what God did for us with our sins. And he said, your payment is complete because Jesus, and you put your faith in him. And by putting our faith in him, he canceled and said, it's paid in full. We're justified by our faith alone, not by what we do, not by works of righteousness, but by our faith we are declared just and right, and the debt is canceled and we are set free. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. And listen to what Paul said to the church there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You'll find it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ because he forgave, if you're with me, he forgave some of our sins. Is that what it says there? All of our sins. Exactly. He forgave all of our sins. I have that word circled. And you've heard me say before, all means all. That's all means. So he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Debt is paid, and when Jesus hung on the cross, the tag was put there, paid in full, the debt is canceled, and we are set free. Because of Easter, your sins are gone, and you can celebrate that. Paul said, if the resurrection was not a fact, if Jesus was still in the grave, we would still be in our sin. But praise God, the tomb is empty. Our sins are forgiven. Also, the third reality, because of Easter, our life has real meaning. That we have real meaning and purpose for our life today and every day. Because our Savior is alive and he gives purpose. He gives meaning. He gives hope. He gives victory. Because our faith is not futile. What we believe, what we profess is not futile, because Paul says someday our faith will become sight. Our faith will become a reality. Someday we will receive eternal life in heaven because of Jesus and our faith in him. It's not a futile attempt. This life here is not all there is. If this life was all there is, we wouldn't have much to look forward to. We wouldn't have anything to look forward to, would we? Paul says if this life, all we have is this life, then we would be pitied more than all people, because we believe and profess that Jesus died and rose again and is providing a place for us. Jesus himself even said that. He said that I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be with me. If the resurrection wasn't true, Jesus would have been lying. But he fulfilled his word to us. And life has meaning and purpose. Our faith is not futile. He says, if the grave wasn't empty, then we may as well just eat, drink, and be merry, and spend all we have here, because this is all we have to look forward to. And I tell you, if this life was all we had to look forward to, if this was it, and there was no hope of life beyond the grave, it sure wouldn't be much joy in living sometimes, would it? I mean, some of the sorrows we experience in this life, if this was all we had. But we have the hope of the resurrection, knowing that our faith will someday come sight. What we profess and believe in is a reality and true. And it's not futile. It's real. And it's going to be fulfilled coming in play. Our faith is not sight, and our labor is not in vain. Paul says, as he concludes this chapter, look at verse 38. He says, therefore, in conclusion of all this, and we're going to come back to looking at some other things he said, but a conclusion of all this, because of the resurrection, because we serve a Savior who's alive, the grave is empty. Because of this, therefore, stand firm and let nothing move you. Because give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because we know that someday we're going to receive eternal life. But someday we're going to step into the presence of the Jesus and hear him say, well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Because we know that someday the suffering will end. Notice what he says in verse 32. He said, If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? And if the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He said, in other words, he said, if the grave is not empty, if there's not life beyond the grave, then there's no purpose for the suffering and the hardship and the trials that we go through. We've learned before that when we go through trials and heartaches and adversity and trials of our faith, the Lord is doing it to refine us. The Lord is doing it to make us more like him. The Lord is doing it to work out his good in us, right? But Paul said if the grave is not empty, if Jesus is still there, then there's no purpose for any suffering we go through. Then he said, I've faced wild beasts for nothing. If there's no hope that when I stand before the Lord, it's going to receive the reward, then why would God allow us to go through that in this case? Our faith isn't futile. Life has meaning because Jesus is alive. And the grave is indeed empty. And the fourth reality is because of Easter, our future is bright. We have a bright and glorious future ahead of what we have to look forward to because the tomb is empty. Our future is bright because victory is assured. And Paul said in verse 26 that the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and that Jesus must reign until he had put all his enemies under his power, it says, in verse 24, till he hands over the kingdom, and he must reign. In verse 25, till he puts all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Because the grave is empty, we have the assurance that victory is guaranteed. Victory over death, because Christ has taken away the sting of death. As we go on to verse 54, Paul writes that death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? That when Christ rose from the dead, he has taken away the sting of victory, the sting of death. That when we lay a loved one in the grave, we know that's not the end. We know that we will be together again. We know that the grave could not hold Christ. The grave will not hold us. That the victory has been won. Jesus now holds the keys to death in the grave in his hands. And he is Lord over it. And the victory is assured that because Jesus lives, we too shall live also. The first fruits, Paul says here, of those that live, and that we will too live because of him. Victory over death, but also victory over sin. He says in verse 56 that the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we would go to the book of Romans, chapter 6, Paul was writing there about the resurrection, and because we have Jesus is alive, we have new life. And he said that because of that, we are therefore buried with him in baptism in death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too will live a new life. And if we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that the old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who died has been freed from sin. Verse 8, now if you have died with Christ, we believe you will also live with him. For we know that since Christ died from the dead, raised from the dead, he cannot die again, and death no longer has mastery over him. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you may obey its evil desires, nor offer the parts of your body to sin as wicked instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Paul says, because Jesus is alive, we can have victory over sin. Before, sin held us in its grasp, and we could do none other than sin. But now, because of Jesus is alive and his life is living in us, we can choose. And we can choose whether we're going to obey God or not. We can choose whether we're going to yield to sin or whether we're not going to. And that choice and that power is ours now because of the resurrection, and that victory is assured through Christ. Before, we were slaves to sin, but now we've been set free and can live in victory over it. And victory is assured over our enemy, Satan, where Paul says again that he must reign, verse 25, until he puts all enemies under his feet. And he says that God then will hand over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. When we went through the book of Revelation last year, and when we preached through that book, we saw how someday Jesus is going to, when he returns and reigns, destroy Satan. And his doom is certain. And that someday Satan is going to be caught and bound and thrown into that eternal lake of fire. And his doom is absolutely, his end is absolutely assured. His doom is already predicted. Christ, has won that battle already. So our future is bright because our victory is assured, but also suffering will end. And that's the hope that he says here, that he will reign, and then the end will come when he hands over all the kingdom to God the Father who is destroyed. And he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. Paul is saying that Jesus is right now in heaven, waiting till the day that the Father says, okay, son, go get your children. The time has come when suffering will end. He goes on to say in verses 35 through verses 55 about the new body that we're going to receive, that our suffering's going to end, that because Jesus is alive and resurrected, we are going to get a new body like his. We're going to get a new, resurrected, perfect body, a body that will never wear out, guys. A body that won't get old, a body that won't be prone and need surgery, Sandy. A body that won't ever get tired. And on this, my birthday, when I'm getting another year older, to remind us that our bodies won't age. We're not going to have those effects anymore. We're going to have a body that is resurrected and perfect in every way. Paul goes on to describe in the rest of this chapter what this resurrected body is going to be like. But it's no longer sickness, no suffering, no heartache. All will be made perfect and right. Why? Because of the resurrection. Because of Easter. Assures us that better days are coming. Our future is glorious. If the tomb was still occupied, if the resurrection had not occurred, then there would be nothing to hope for. That's why he went on to say, we'd be pitied more than any. Paul had to correct the thinking of the Corinthians because they had it all mixed up. And living without the hope of the resurrection is no hope at all. Suffering will end. So when you're going through those trials, when you're going through those heartaches, when you're going through those times that we all experience, God has good in it, but also know that it's only temporary. It will pass. This body that is only a tent, it's only a temporary shell, that someday we will cast this aside and get that wonderful glorified body that will be lasted for all eternity. I can't wait. I'm sure you can't either, because our future is glorious. And our future is also bright because separation is not permanent. That the separation that we experience here on earth will not last. Because Jesus is alive, when we lay a loved one in the grave and we say those final words and those final goodbyes here, it's not a permanent separation. when Jesus was crucified and he was put in the cross, the disciples thought their hopes were dashed. We read in Luke that as Cleopas and one of the other disciples were walking back from Jerusalem on their way back to Emmaus, and they were discussing it. Jesus appeared in their midst, but they didn't realize it was him. And they were talking to him, and they said, our hopes were dashed. They said, we thought that Jesus was the Messiah, and we had put our hope in him. But we had seen him crucified, and now he's dead, and we thought that he was the one. And they didn't fully understand until they realized they were in his presence. But the disciples thought when they put Jesus in the grave, that was the end. But between Friday to Sunday was hard days for them. It was times of fear. It was a time when their faith was tested. But Sunday morning came, and they were brought back together again. And when we put a loved one in the grave, that's only temporary. That because the grave is empty and Jesus is alive, we know we will be together again. The separation is only temporary. It's not permanent. Aren't you thankful for that? We will be with the Lord. He says Jesus is the first fruits, and then the rest of us in our time. When it's our time, the Lord will catch us up to him, and we'll be with him, and we'll be with our loved ones already there experiencing his presence. Yes, we experience a separation now, temporary, but it's not permanent because of the resurrection. Because Christ is alive. That's why our future is glorious. That's why this day is so wonderful for us. Everything that we believe rests on the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So because of Easter, nothing is the same. 3 days indeed changed it all. Paul said, but Christ, verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Because of Easter, our lives have been changed, our sins are gone, our life has meaning, and our future is bright. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that the grave is empty, that Jesus is alive, that the tomb and the grave could not keep him in its power. And our lives are not the same because of it, because we have believed the message of the gospel and put our faith and trust in you. Our sins are gone. The price has been paid for. The Father, you, our Father, accepted the sacrifice, the payment of Christ on the cross for us. And the debt has been canceled. The resurrection assures and proves that to us. And that life now has meaning. Our faith is not futile. There is more than this life. We have a glorious future to look forward to. And the victory has been won by you. The sting of death has been taken away. Our enemy's doom is already certain. And Lord, we can have that victory over sin as we choose to yield ourselves to you and not to our own will. And so, Father, thank you for what this day means for us. That because of Easter, we have hope, we have life, we have all that we need. We give you glory and honor to your Son, our living Lord and Savior, who we worship, who we praise, and who we serve. And may the power and the joy of the resurrection, Lord, fill our hearts this day and every day, that as Paul said, that I want to know you, and I'm under the power of your resurrection at work within me, that every day we can know you better and be transformed more and more by the work of your grace within us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.